On today's show, we've got Will Slickers of Slick Talk Radio and Good Morning Hospitality. This show is going to start in 30 seconds. Hello, 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 live here on It's My Friday, Scott Stanfield, and I'm super excited to have our guest on today. Let me fix my mustache. There we go, right? I'm super excited to have Will on. Will was so generous to me back almost 2 years ago. I was on his show three times, three back-to-back episodes. I talked about how to hire people, how to train people, and how to sustain an ecosystem. Now, one of the things I wanted to really something I learned during the pandemic is that the restaurant industry is 50% of the supply chain for food. And that's why we were deemed as essential workers. Now, Will has worked in hotels over the years, and we're going to learn more about him. And without further ado, let's see if we can get Will on here and see what we got here. Will, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks for having me, my man. It's good to see you again. Long time no see.
You too. Oh man, this has been a long time coming, right? For us to, ironically, no pun intended, turn the tables, turn the mic, right? As in restaurants, yeah. We turn tables, right? you've interviewed me three times, and we toyed around with the number four, right? But but now I get to ask questions to you, man, and go from there. So I guess the first thing is your background. How did you get into hospitality? And then we'll lead from there.
Yeah, for sure. And it's definitely different being on the other side of the mic. So I'm excited to explore this new grass is greener valley over here. But no, I'll just start in, long story short, with my story. Grew up in a big family. So I've always loved people, loved being, entertaining and just kind of involved with people's lives. And so shortly after high school, and after I joined the Army National Guard for Washington State, I moved to Spokane, Washington. And when I did this move, I was staying with a couple of buddies of mine from college. I dropped out, they kept going on. And I was doing this part-time job, and it was very seasonal. And when the season ended, I had nothing to do. I was like, well, shoot, what am I going to do to make money? I gotta learn how to eat, right? And so I was previously a event coordinator and marketing manager for Harley Davidson right before I made that move. And I love the event industry, and it kind of just like sparked my passion for people. So I started a chauffeur and event company in Spokane. But right after, Uber came in and destroyed me. Completely destroyed me. I could not keep up with a $1 billion instant app. So I slowly phased out the chauffeur services and party buses, then started doing more events and weddings. Had a good pickup on it, but it just wasn't as lucrative, especially being a young male in the industry of that event planning. Weddings were not sought out for weddings. Like, women were just like, nope, you don't have the eye that I will have. And so I'm going to move on to somebody else. And long story short, I pivoted into working at this hotel, a 5-star hotel, part of the Marriott Autograph Collection, and fell in love. Just remember picking up a couple clients there one time, walked in for an interview, and got hired on the spot. My manager and I are still currently best friends. And he, pretty much gave me a chance, and I fell in love with the industry of hotels and hospitality, and kind of launched from there, man. Yeah. That's the long story short.
Yeah. Well, what, You know, as I'm remembering, you know, some of our things I've forgotten about the autograph collection. That's one of the things we have in common, because I was the director of food and beverage of the autograph collection property here in Park City, Utah. And I was there when we actually became an autograph collection. And that was one of the things that really we kind of connected on there. So, man, this is I used a new pandemic word, right? Pivot. Right. That wasn't in our vocabulary back when you actually moved into the hotel world. I mean, hello, yeah. This is my pivot. Right. You know, it's like this is where we're at. Right. I was furloughed in March and here I am now with a live show on LinkedIn. So this is and welcome people on LinkedIn. Right. This is on Facebook and also airing on YouTube as well. So
what up, everybody?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, what I'm doing is taking, I'm taking one recording each week and put on each one of my podcasts as well as a bonus episode. So, seeing how you're, in the hospitality world, we'll take this one and we'll put it on the podcast for the Restaurant General Manager podcast. Right. Ooh. And, have it on that platform as well. And I did that just yesterday with two episodes from last week and, they're getting great listeners, ship already. So, I'm excited about this and expanding the live into different formats. Well, before we get into how you started the podcast and then the live show, let's talk about, I know you were called up on the National Guard, Army National Guard during COVID. So just talk about that for a minute, what that was like and what the experience was.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I've been in the Army National Guard for Washington State for about 6 years. I joined in 2014 as a 88 Mike, which is a truck driver, and essentially one of the most important jobs you could have, just because without transportation to haul equipment and food and water and all these other things, we don't move as a military pretty much. And so it was a really important time in my life to when I joined. You know, a lot of growth, a lot of discipline was implemented, a lot of self-worth was created. And then throughout that time, you honed in on those skills, those leadership skills is really important. And then, but long story short, to get to the COVID stuff is that I quit my day job full-time to run my podcast full-time December 27th of 2019. Mm-hmm. I started traveling the country and the world. I was in Texas and Florida and Vegas, and then I was in London when everything went to crap.
So
I was in London for an award show. I got nominated for an award in the vacation rental sector of hospitality and for the podcast. And so I went there to go be part of the award and a part of the convention. That was the next day afterwards. And I can remember very vividly, it was like 1 or 2:30 in the morning in London, but it was still, you know, evening time in Washington. And I woke up to like 500 messages. Not even kidding, like Instagram messages, voicemails, emails, texts, you name it. Like, it was insane. I never had so many notifications at one time on my phone. And I was freaking out because I was like, all these messages were like, how are you going to get back? Please give me a call. Give me a call. How are you getting back? And, president declared a national emergency. And so I was freaking out trying to figure out how to get a hold of my airline to get on the plane and make sure I was going to be okay. Long story short, the article that I didn't read very thoroughly in the panic said all U.S. citizens will be allowed to come back. So I didn't worry too much. I continued on with my journey, and then I got home and quarantined for 2 weeks. But during that time of quarantining at home, I got sick, and so I instantly thought I had COVID. Mm-hmm. So, but thankfully, it did not. I was just tired out from stress and traveling for 2 months straight. And so with that being said, I remember the day specifically, April 5th of this year, I got a call from my sergeant, said, Slickers, you're going to report to active orders for COVID-19. You're going to be in the response for hazmat. So I was one of the hazmat certified people where we are dealing with, you know, viruses and chemicals and other things like that. So we're trained to wear these masks and all the gear that goes with it. And that day as well, I had 8 podcast recordings set up and they all canceled. All of them.
Oh, wow. So,
yeah. And that same day I got that call from my sergeant all my podcast sponsors bailed. They said, unfortunately, we don't have the revenue and the marketing budget anymore. So we still want to be a part of the show, but we just can't afford to pay. So I lost all my income. I lost pretty much all my show guests for the next month or two. And then I got called to duty. So it was a rough day for sure. But then getting to on orders, it was kind of like, you know, it's just part of the job. And so got put on the uniform, hopped in, got my processing paperwork done, and I got assigned to set up all the testing sites for Washington State for COVID-19. So we started out near the coast area and worked our way inland to where we were getting a lot more positive tests or positive cases. And so it was crazy. I was on it for 5 months. You're working 5, maybe 7 days a week, depending on what sites you were at and how often, you know, things were changing. You open a site up and you close it down. You can open a site up for 3 months and then all of a sudden get shut down out of nowhere. So, you know, you're pretty much just, it's a lot of hurry up and wait. But yeah, it was a good time. We got, you know, to travel the state and serve our communities, which is really important. You know, coming from a hospitality background anyways, that's what we love to do. We love to serve. We want to take care of our local areas. And that was a great way to still be in the industry, if that makes sense, without being in the industry. Was, yes, I have a different uniform on, but I'm still here to serve. And so that was I think my biggest highlight and takeaway from it.
Well, I just got chills right at the very end of that. You know, I just wanted the first thing that comes to mind is thank you for your service, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Thank you know, my dad was in the Army. He was in Vietnam, you know. He was more like, hey, Dad, what'd you do in Vietnam? Because I was like radar from MASH, right? He was really, he was actually going to be a Green Beret and hurt his knee doing karate.
Oh, wow.
So he then had to do something else, right? So, you know, with that. And so, I just want to say thanks, man. This is once of 100 years, like 100-year flood, right? 100-year, you know, the flu, the pandemic that came around in 1918, you know, it's been 102 years since our world has seen this. And, I know I was one of those messages to you, the 500 messages you had, because, you know, we were chatting at the time, right? Because I believe what had happened was, I was interviewing a manager for the restaurant I was managing. I was a GM of a restaurant in Santa Monica. Mm-hmm. And she actually had worked at the Hungry Cat for David Lentz, right?
Yeah.
And which is in Hollywood. And she asked David if she had ever heard of me, if he had ever heard of me. And he's one of the part of this power culinary power couple of LA, right? And I found out in the interview, she's like, yeah, he's heard you on the hospitality podcast. And so I remember texting you around this time, right? Yeah. All this stuff was going on is that, and so my advice to people out in the world, if you're a guest like you are right now, and you're laying out your philosophies on what you think you should, how you lead an organization, you got to be true to that because somebody's going to hear and come and want to work for you. And you got to really like walk the walk. It's just not like, you know, like this pie in the sky thing that I believe like this is how I hire people or this is how I train people or this is how I cultivate an environment or culture, company culture, those type of things. I mean, and now she was, you know, qualified for the job. It just wasn't the perfect fit, you know, for high volume, super high volume restaurant, up to 900 covers a day during the summer.
Yeah.
You know, and so when you're that close to the Santa Monica Pier, you're going to get 20,000 people walking by the front door every day. And so before COVID, right? You know, this I'm speaking before COVID numbers.
Yeah.
That was a really wild experience for me, you know, to say, hey, I've been on this podcast and somebody, you know, but that also speaks for your podcast, which we can talk about right now, which is, I mean, you've got tremendous listenership and downloads on your podcast. You've had some great people in there and obviously, you know, some powerful people listen to your podcast. So what made you're entrepreneurial, you know, you're the chauffeuring, you know, all those type of things. So what made you, you know, so early, so young, say, hey, I want to start, you know, the hospitality podcast?
Yeah. Well, after that job, I worked at that Autograph Collection for about two and a half years and really was, well, I'm going to actually respond to what you just said. Thank you for support. And I just appreciate everything you said. You know, you've always been a big believer in the podcast. So, you're awesome. So thank you. Being at the autograph collection, I was still really hungry. I didn't know what ADR was and RevPAR and all these like revenue management skills. And I was really good in the people person, and operation of flow and getting the check-in process super well done and creating that experience for guests that was positive. But I really wanted to learn more back-end management and revenue and marketing, and just wasn't able to get that at the property. You know, we were going through a change of leadership and all this other stuff. So it just made sense for me to, I'm young, I'm not married, I have no kids. And I remember it was winter time. I was just getting, it was just getting out of winter. So we're going into spring. And I remember just being like, you know what? I don't like this weather. I want to go to the beach. And I remember growing up in the Oregon, or not growing up in the Oregon coast, but growing up going to the Oregon coast. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to go there. I want to see what it's like. And so I took that leap of faith. And when I did it, it all worked out. Started managing a couple of properties and restaurants. When I was in bed one day, I was really bored. I was still I had that entrepreneurial itch, man. Like, it just never goes away. When you have it, you can't stop. And I was watching a Tony Robbins and Gary Vee YouTube video. They were together in Gary Vee's office in LA or whatever. And they're like, if you have any ideas at all, the best way to execute on it, don't create a YouTube channel. You can create a YouTube channel just afterwards, but go with a podcast. Start a podcast. It's free. All you need to do is get a $20 mic off of Amazon and you're good to go. And of course, get on Anchor and do all those other things. And I was like, $20? I can do $20. So I instantly bought a mic. And my previous chauffeur company was called Slick Industries. So I've been, you know, I thank my parents every day for my last name. Like, without my last name, I wouldn't have all these things. So thank you. But I was like, you know, I've always played with the idea of like Slick Talk, TED Talk type deal. And, but I wanted to focus on hospitality. So instantly was like, Slick Talk is a great name, but there's tons of Slick Talks out there. I have to make it stand out and make sure people know it's a hospitality podcast. So I just added the hospitality podcast, by nature. And then, just started playing with it, man. Just learn my sound, figuring out what worked, what didn't work, learning about the podcast, industry and kind of that medium and what that is. And, I just started playing with it and going from there. And then I had my first guest, Adam Knight, who was a 20-year veteran in the industry of hotels. And he asked to be on the show. And I was like, well, this guy has been in way longer than me. Why does he trust my like thinking? And I'm a newbie. I'm like 3 years in. So, he took a shot and was like, yeah, let's create a podcast episode and on how to be a hotel manager. Cause I was just stepping into that management role out on the coast. And, it was really good. It was the episode that put it on the map. And, from there just started getting lots of listenerships. And then you reached out and we did our 3-episode series. And this is an ever evolving process, right? So my podcasts were, when you were on the show, sound way different than the podcasts that are on the show now. But I think, as just to answer your question with the entrepreneurship, is that once you get a taste for it, it never goes away. And then once you finally get into something that you love and like true, like I'm talking like truly love, like you live, breathe, sleep, and dream this stuff. That's when you get to really experience something beautiful. And so that's kind of what the podcast has created. It's created that life for me, to do this full time and then also just learn and be not, I don't want to be, Patreon or anybody that's like super, you know, big, but I want to educate. I want to find value. I want people to find value in what we do and what, this industry is. And so that's kind of like my drive and purpose for the mission of the show.
Yeah. You know, there's a couple of things. One is, as the host of the show, right, I find everybody that I interview, I learn something from. I take one thing from that, right?
Yeah.
Not from a egotistical standpoint. You told me you started asking like one of my hiring questions, right? Interview mm-hmm. questions, right? You know, started doing that. You know, so if you throw out my 3 podcasts, right, which one of your favorite, which is your favorite one, or which one did you learn the most from, do you think, that you would say, hey, if you're going to go listen to one episode, you know, go listen to this one, right?
Yeah, no, and I'll just go address to that one that you just said. It's the interviewing for emotional intelligence and had an interview pretty much, because I was when I was transferring into this new role, I was at a new property that I left the current company because they're going through some leadership stuff too with the owners. And so I was like, you know, it's a good clean cut. And I moved to this other one. And it was just, we had to grow our team. It was getting summertime. It's the coast. It's busy. And so I wasn't struggling with interviews, but I wanted to be more intentional with interviews. I didn't want to just hire willy-nilly like other people were doing that I've seen. And so I was like, yeah, I want to be more intentional. So I reached out to you, obviously asking questions, but then I also gave your episode a listen again and was just like, okay, what are these key things and how can I be kind of like how we talk about, you know, how can I not be about me, but about them? I want to learn about them and if they actually are servant, like servants' hearts, like if they have right. that ability to be empathetic and be sympathetic with their team and be a team player instead of, well, I'm here for a job. I'm here for a paycheck and I don't care who or what gets in my way type deal, right. you know? And that episode, yeah, for me is what took away. I built an amazing team. I still talk to them. And a lot of the team members were previous employees that already worked there. They were just in the wrong position, which was crazy to find out through that podcast episode. It's not only interviewing for new people, but you can actually interview your current staff and find out, guess what? They're in the wrong spot. They're being underutilized or they're being overutilized in an area that they don't want to be in. And so I learned a ton and I made a beautiful team that killed it. We not only grew our, you know, revenue to record high every month, we beat years and years of records. But then we also built our guest satisfaction and overall just culture. So we had more than our return guest ratio to new guest was insane. So it just became very, very captivating and very exciting. So that was the biggest thing I learned was not only how to interview for new people, but how to then take that skill and apply it to your current team and find out, are they in the right spot?
Right. That wasn't what I was looking for, but you know, you're right. Right. Most people, I was just coaching somebody the other day and the same thing. I was like, when you start a new job, not only you probably need to hire people, right. Because of where we're at in the whole world. Right. Just like you were in, right. And in our industry, we're just hiring all the time. Mm-hmm. And then, but the thing is, as I said, you need to evaluate your staff by having one-on-ones and asking the same interview questions. Right. Yeah. Because you really want to know if they're a fit for the team, right? Because there's these other things that have evolved since, you know, you and I've last really had a really in-depth conversation. I started talking about collective EQ, where it's like this emotional quotient for your whole team, right? And you're looking at that and you're putting people in the right place and you're trying to raise that emotional quotient or, you know, and hospitality quotient, right? Which is another thing, which Danny Meyer calls hospitality factor, right? You're trying to move that, you know, up that way your team can perform better, you know, day in and day out. No, that really, gosh, that warms my heart. And something interesting about that, I was actually developing a training course. I created 94 slides to how to teach people my entire hiring process, everything.
Yeah. I think I remember you telling me about that.
Yep. And then COVID hit and I'm like, this isn't the right time. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, unemployment is still high. There's all these different things that are going on. Right. So it's just not the right time. So besides my episodes, what would be one episode? Like I listened to, So You Want to Be a Hotel Manager, which is Adam Knight episode. And I'm like, wow, this is super cool. And I was like, I want to be on podcast. And so I reached out to you and then, you know, God, you were so gosh gracious. I can't even imagine, like, people don't do three episodes back to back, you know. I mean, it was like, I mean, that was absolutely amazing on your part to do that with me. And so I really appreciate that. But what other episode would you say, hey, you need to go listen to this one episode?
It's so hard. We just recently, well, I don't know why I say we, but the show just passed over 100 episodes. And so there's so much content, but I think the one that I've been really taking into recently, like a lesson from, was the word odomashi, which is a Japanese word about anticipating a guest's needs or anticipating something before it happens or before somebody knows that they want something or need something. And so the reason why this episode stuck out was because I was interviewing a CEO of a big tech company in the hotel and vacation rental world. And they, you know, he doesn't have a hospitality background in the sense of managing properties or hotels or anything like that, but he had the tech background and the business background. And we were learning from each other because it was kind of like he knew all about the tech and the business world. I'm young, but I'm still learning. So that's all new stuff for me. And then I have a deep passion for hospitality. And I was telling him about this stuff and he brought that word to mind and it just captivated me on that. There's now like, it's kind of like, you hear something a million times and you just wish there's a simpler way to say it. And yet odomashi is not the easiest word to say. When you read it, you're like, omatinamanashi. Once you get it down, it describes, you know, just exactly like what it's like a mission statement, you know, a mission word. And for me, that was just like, it brought me back to my roots. It just brings me back to the basics, which I think, you know, it's great that we are learning tons of stuff all the time. And I love always learning. Like my brain hurts at night, especially on Fridays, like after a long week of lots of this and lots of Zooms and videos and recordings and meetings. But at the end of the day, bringing back to the basics, what is your mission? Why did you start your why, your real purpose? And that word hit me and I was like, odomashi, like anticipating the needs and how can I apply it? Not just in hospitality, not just in a hotel or a vacation rental or a restaurant. How can I apply it with my friendships? How can I apply it with my parents, my brother? How can I apply, you know, that in a relationship with a significant other? And so that's, it's just like became a personal development growth and learning for me as well.
Wow, that's super cool. I remember when I was working here in Park City, you know, and I was like, you know what? I've been a, you know, manager for so long and I've been managing pretty much my entire career. I went from dishwasher to manager in 90 days. Right. And so I had about halfway through my career, I went back and waited tables and bartended for a bit. And I started asking my best servers, you know, and bartenders, I'm like, what's your secret to giving exceptional service? And I remember when Chris, he came to, he said the same thing. I anticipate the guest needs. And, it was something that happened with him that he, at some point he just leveled up his service, you know, and, it was amazing, you know, for him to really, cause he was actually so good that he actually was bored most of the time. He needed something to actually bring the best out of him. And I don't know what it was, what changed it. I don't know if it was me or the culture or himself just wanting to, you know, step up and do that. But that was his thing, was about anticipating the guest needs. And that kind of, it came up with the four or five servers that I asked to give me, you know, what was the thing that they really looked at. And that was a common thread between all of them. And I think anticipating is really empathy, right? You're putting yourself in their shoes, right? And you're really asking, you know, what if I was sitting in that booth or that chair or that bar stool or staying in that hotel room, right? You know, what would I need, right? And that's really, and empathy is the one common thing that runs through like so many things, right? Relationships, like you said. I mean, you just listed all of those things, right? Yeah. Relationships, guests, employees, cultures, right? Even, you know, I mean, how can you anticipate the needs of an applicant, right? We're in the hospitality industry, right? We should be hospitable to everybody from your owner or your GM or your district manager, to every vendor that walks in the back door, to every employee that walks in the employee entrance, to every applicant, every employee, every guest, everybody should be, you know, should be treated that way. So it's just, a super, super cool, way of looking at that. And the Japanese are so good for having that one word that has such impact, right? Like I love Kaizen, right? Kaizen is the, you know, the art of continuous improvement, and they're always trying to perfect their thing, right? So growing 1% every day and compounding on that, they have like the, you know, now it's like, I don't speak that good. I can speak sushi Japanese, and I worked in a sushi restaurant one time, and I love sushi, but you know, there's other things like, there's the art of, you know, forest bathing, right? That's another word. And then there's, another Japanese term. And then they've got a laughing art. And then there's also this practice of, you know, speaking as a modern longevitarian, where in, especially in Okinawa, Japan, where it's one of the original blue zones, has the high, one of the five areas in the world that has the highest population of people over 100 years old, that where they only eat till they're 80% full. Right. And so they don't have these, like, I'm going to like, you know, fill up or have a Thanksgiving day, you know, or Super Bowl, or and just gorge yourself on food. They just eat to 80% full. So there's those, Japanese has a way of doing that. So, so now we have a, you know, now we have, you just started, I think Monday, right? The Good Morning Hospitality live morning show. I tuned in a little bit on Monday. So tell me how you got there and what's going on with that show. Let's let the listeners know about that.
Yeah. To go into that word thing though, is really, during this COVID order time, I created an award because I wanted to find a way to stay relevant in the show. So we created the destination air concept, which is creating a destination out of nothing, finding a way to pretty much anywhere is a destination. And part of it was kind of, this was before I found out, Odomashi, but it's a destination air is a people that are wired to create remarkable experiences that are anticipated and shared. And so I think it just kind of all at the end of the day, like you said, applying that to everyday life is really important and really, really key. And it goes into the longevitarian method, because if you want longevity, you have to have some kind of soul and purpose that really drives that, in my opinion, just from what I've experienced. So I think that's great that you have all those words, especially for 20 other things. So yesterday we launched officially the Good Morning Hospitality show. It's live every Monday, 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And the long story short on that is I had a guest that I've that's involved in a company I've worked with on the show multiple times in many areas that have been showcased and have not been showcased. But just love the people, love the team. They're with Noise Aware out in Texas. And so he was on my, the guy that was on my podcast was the director of business development. And he and I really just had a good banter back and forth pre-recording and after the recording. And he was like, "Hey man, I really enjoyed this. Let's do this more often. Like I would love to do like a weekly basis with you." And I was like, "Well, okay, like I'm really backed up on the show. I had this was back in August. So I have episodes scheduled to launch all the way through January. I don't have like I was backed up." And so he was like, "Well, let's just create a new show. Like let's create a new concept and something a little bit different than Slick Talk." And I was like, "Okay, that's, you know, another thing on my plate, but at the end of the day, I love it. Let's just run with this momentum. I think you're right. We do have a good what do you call it? A good demeanor or chemistry. And so we were playing around with a bunch of ideas, and we knew we wanted to kind of cover like hospitality news, but we didn't want to just focus on one sector of hospitality, but we also want to make it exciting, kind of like what Slick Talk does. We interview experts and we are experts and all this other stuff. And so I was going through a bunch of like name ideas, and then I saw a Good Morning America ad pop up on my computer, and I was like, Good Morning Hospitality. Okay, let's see if this is a domain." And so I looked it up, and it was a free domain. There was nobody that had it, which I was shocked. And so I bought it for $19.99 for 2 years, and sent him the text and was like, "Hey, this is the show name." And we were working with somebody with Marriott Hotels, and we were going to have them as a co-host. And right now they're going through a lot of stuff with their PR. So they're kind of like, "Hey, like, this is a great idea. We'll be involved in the later sense." And so he goes, "This is a great idea. I'll buy the domain from you for triple the price that you bought it." And I was like, "Nope, I'm going to wait." And, but then we sought out a hotel co-host, somebody who's in the hotel world. I'm in a hybrid of vacation rentals and hotels. And so he's on the vacation rental side. So we found our other co-host who is with bidroom.com, and they are a subscription-based booking platform for hotels, and they're just really disrupting the industry in a lot of ways. And so we all talked and just we were like, "Yeah, this is going to be great. We love the idea." And so we just started combing through news articles and, you know, seeing what's going on in the industry. What's I think one thing that's waking us up all from COVID is that we're seeing the biggest, again, this word pivot that we've ever seen in hospitality. And it's about time. Like, I've been talking about this, you know, behind the scenes for a couple of years, but it's about time that we grew and advanced and really honed in our industry more. And so, yeah, we decided to come up with Good Morning Hospitality. I didn't want to do another just podcast. So I looked at what other people in the industry were doing live shows, and not many were doing it in the sense of hospitality as a whole, hotels, vacation rentals. And so I was like, all right, we're going to play with live. We're going to do live. I want to get engaged with my audience. That's one thing I've been working with Slick Talk is engaging, like getting to know them. I was in Arizona not too long ago, and I went to lunch with a listener who just shared an episode on her story on Instagram, and we got to talk, and I got to meet her and her family and learn about the business that they were starting. And it was just great. So I wanted to be more intentional with that. And that's what Good Morning Hospitality became and birthed. And now we're, you know, getting ready for week two next Monday, and I'm super excited.
Wow. So you're just doing once a week on Mondays, right? Is all you're doing?
Yep. Once a week on Mondays for that show. And then Slick Talk, I'm doing 3 episodes a week right now, published, just to speed up the process, because I was so booked out. Now I have it down to December instead of January. So that 3 episodes a week is really helping. But yeah, it is just such a long wait list and great people. And so just putting out as much content as we can, and hopefully making a difference.
Well, you're definitely taking the Gary Vee approach, right, to content, right? It's, yeah. I mean, you're putting out a live show and 3 podcasts a week and engaging on social media. I mean, that's for those people who don't know who Gary Vee is, which I don't know how you would not know who he is, but Gary Vaynerchuk, right? He's everywhere. I don't know if I've seen him speak live actually here in Utah, down in Orem. He was at an event. I went down to see him, and it was pretty cool, right, to go see Gary Vee.
Yeah,
but
daily inspiration.
Yeah, for sure. I haven't listened to him a lot lately. You know, I've been creating a lot of stuff, right? I haven't had a chance to really, you know, that I've been writing, you know, blog post and, you know, writing this, 100-day primer, a longevity primer called the Jammer with my dear friend Malia Brown, I do all my own graphic design and, you know, all those things. So I've been, and which you probably do a lot of that stuff too as well, right? So
I'm still a one-man show, my friend. I have no team. I have no outsourced anything. I create everything in-house. And so, yeah, I know the struggle. It's Gary Vee puts out a lot of micro content, like a lot of little things. And then, obviously they're from the bigger macro content, like YouTube videos and keynote speeches and stuff. But yeah, that's kind of like goal right now, is just put out a ton of macro content, like, you know, 40-minute, hour-long podcasts multiple times a week, and then start chunking it out from there and building smaller micro content.
It's an interesting thing when you look at like the people who've championed this long format stuff, like Tim Ferriss, right? You know,
Joe Rogan.
And Joe Rogan, Rich Roll. I don't know if you watch the Rich Roll podcast or not. But they're all, those guys are 2 hours long, right? You know, I mean, we're at 38 minutes and you got another thing to do in 20. So we're not going to go that long. And I don't think a live stream needs to be that long. Right. I mean, my podcast go into longer format as well. Right. And I love it. And, I've always been a huge fan of what you do. And so I'm excited to see where the live show goes. And that's, I mean, what, as you're expanding the live show, where do you see it going? Obviously the topic's hospitality, but you've got 3 different people, sounds like, that have different niches inside of hospitality, right? Where, I'm mostly a restaurant. I've worked in hotels, I've worked in 3 hotels. One of them's over my shoulder, whichever shoulder that is, the Stanley Hotel historic, the Stanley in Estes Park, Colorado. I've worked at a Marriott Autograph property and a Hilton property. And that's kind of, the restaurant managers can kind of go, into standalone restaurants or go into, the hotel world and work that way. So where do you see, back to what I'm saying, right? Because I'm kind of wondering here, is where do you see the live show going?
The live show for us, really right now, we're just really focusing on providing value in the sense of covering the topics that aren't normal talk. Like, we hear all the time about companies closing down or opening up, or, all these little things like they're good info. They're good things to know, but we really want to hone in on the topics that don't get much attention, but are pivotal or may be applicable to your business right now, or just things that are actionable as well, and really maybe changing the way that the industry moves. And so just being, we're being really intentional with that kind of conversation, that topic, finding the stories that we feel, again, are just really key and important for the recovery of hospitality. Hotels are still shut down and people have furloughs and layoffs and restaurants are closed and suffering. And, you know, there's a 60% closure rate right now in the hospitality industry. And we're at a pretty intense time, like with just this industry as a whole that runs the world in a lot of ways, you know, hospitality is applied anywhere, but you know, you think about vacation rentals and companies like Airbnb and Vrbo and all these hotels and restaurants that provide for those hotels and the local businesses that provide for those guests and the tourists and all this stuff. So the show right now, we're focusing on just really intentional topics for anybody in the industry, vacation rentals, hotels, hospitality, you know, restaurants, whatever. And then slowly but surely, we'll start bringing on a couple expert guests to do like 5-10 minute segments on that topic. And so really becoming the Good Morning America of the hospitality industry, really start growing it there. And who knows, right now it's once a week, but we might do it every day.
Yeah.
But we'll find out as we're just having fun trying to grow a great community and bring value to the industry as a whole, because whether you're in a different segment of hospitality, vacation rentals, hotels, restaurants, we're all here to accomplish the same thing. Right. And that's make a dollar, you know, we're obviously here for a paycheck, but we're also here to make an impact on people's lives and in the world that we live in and the industry that we love. So that's kind of the goal of the show right now.
Yeah. You know, it's funny when I watched your show on Monday, you were talking about how you see hotel, like even design changing, like you see them going wider versus up and everybody wanting to, you know, less interaction with humans, right? Where they get an online check-in, have Bluetooth on their phone and they can check into the hotel. And I know that there's apps so you can communicate with the staff that's on things like that. And you can like, hey, I need more towels in the beginning and things like that. So as a species, we long for, you know, human connection, right? There's even like, you know, serotonin release when we hug and all these type of things. But then there's also this, this thing that's like, I need to protect myself piece that's coming in and protect my family and not get the virus, that type of stuff. And so, I mean, I think you guys are doing a really good job, you know, out of the gate, really to put a lot of thought into what, you know, where you see the industry going and that type of stuff. And I know that you've even seen, like the vacation, like the rental, like the Airbnb type stuff really changed, right? It's really been an amazing thing. And that's been something you've been focused on for the last probably year talking about that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've had my foot in both worlds, hotels, vacation rentals, been in vacation rentals the same time I've been in hotels, but that's kind of when I took on the podcast full time, jumped into vacation rentals, because that's where the energy was at. Hotels were kind of that, we've been doing this for 20 years, so why should we change now type mentality. And so I really dove into the vacation rental side, but yeah, you're right. Like we do, that's the thing. Hotels, they go up, vacation rentals, there are, you know, multifamily unit type buildings that do go up as well. But the long story short, you have the need for better automated processes, better experience. People, you know, travel is a lot of energy. It is. Whether you're a solo traveler or traveling with your family or a corporate traveler or whatever, it takes a lot of energy, a lot of time. So getting to a place where you have to wait in line for a key when your room's been ready for about maybe an hour, 2 hours, who knows how long, where you could have entered in at your own leisure, right? So that getting rid of that process and creating a better experience with the little things. And again, being intentional on people's journeys, like you have to put yourself in their shoes, and thus again going into anticipating the guest needs, but we still have that sense for community, that sense of specialness, that sense of serotonin being released when we hug or kiss or hold hands or sit by the fire and sing songs, you know, like that is still needed and wanted. And so you're right, I do see that happening, you know, going long term, creating a sense of separation, but having that opportunity at your leisure to have that community. So it's going to be interesting to see as we keep on the road to recovery right now.
Yeah, it is, right? You know, when you think about travel in itself, right? The things that happen around travel, right? You know, hotel rooms are a piece of it. Food is another piece of it. Rental cars, another piece of it. Airline is another piece
camping.
Of it. Camping, you know, and you even, and I'm imagining that a lot of people have been camping now and not staying in hotels, but you know, even to the fact of, you know, like when I was in Santa Monica, when I was looking at the, you know, the habits of tourists, right? 80% of the people that come to visit Santa Monica would not step in a car the entire time they're there until they're getting ready to go back to the airport. Right.
Yeah.
So they, you know, so what was within walking distance of them was really important. Right.
And yeah,
so
foot traffic,
foot traffic was real, really important. And so that's that. And what I'm getting at there is like the connection that happens inside the hotel. Right. You know, and when you look at like Ritz-Carlton did a study on how many touch points happened over an average stay, a 2.5 day, there's like 47 touch points with different employees. I mean, and so, you know, it's like so many things that, you know, when you look at all of these pieces that go together and to make a hotel run or and those type of things. And when you're looking at how this is going to change with COVID as we start becoming, I mean, because look, one of the things that's really cool about this is how connected are we, right? You were in London and stuff. You know, we are all one thing, right? I mean, I can go, let's say I go to the grocery store today, right? I go down to Whole Foods and I'm going to, you know, buy something for my family, right? I could be standing in line next to somebody who just got off a plane from somewhere across the world a week ago, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's really just interesting that how we are one. And you could be staying in a hotel or eating in a restaurant, sitting next to somebody that could have been halfway around the world just a day ago. Right.
Yeah.
So all these things are connected. So if you think that, you know, like, you know, we're in America and this is where, and we're isolated, we're not isolated. All right. You know, we're all one global, you know, citizenship, really. And we're really connected. And it showed how quickly this virus spread around the world. And I'm doing this as like, I'm wrapping the globe, right. You know, it's like, you know, that type of stuff. And so, I think what you do is really cool. You know, I mean, I love your work and always love listening to your podcast and now, you got to be on, my new live show that I've had here. This is, so this is episode number eight that I'm having.
Yeah.
And so it's really cool. So,
I would say out of the three years I've known you, I've been following everything you do. And it's just every time you do something, it's just getting more like, just, I love watching it. It's just evolved so much. And you've always had this like longevitarian mission, but I think you're really just honed into it a lot more. And I love seeing it. It's been cool to watch. And especially the live show's been great. I love, it's one of my favorite Facebook notifications I get.
Thank you. You know, I really appreciate that. You know, I've been a longevitarian for a long time. I actually came up, I came up with this word, and I know we only got just a couple minutes left, 8 years ago, right? 8.5 years ago when I was 40, I was losing 40 pounds and people kept asking me, you know, what kind of diet, you know, what was the magic pill, right? And I was like, there's so much more. I'm not a vegetarian. And I was vegetarian at the time. And I was like, I'm not a vegetarian. I'm a longevitarian. And I don't think we had smartphones then, right? So I had to like run over to the computer and go to GoDaddy and see if it was available. It was taken. I was like, I wasn't lucky with Good Morning Hospitality. I'm like, and then it was like also this another search entry was for Google Books.
Uh-huh.
And there was actually mentioned in a book in like 1875, right? This, you know, or 1857, I think is what it was. But about these longevitarians, right? And I was like, wow, this has been around for 150 years, this word, right? And so that's why
a long time.
Yeah, that's why I became modern longevitarian, because the modern world, and I couldn't buy longevitarian.com, but I could buy modernlongevitarian.com. So I've owned modernlongevitarian.com for, 8 years now, you know, 8.5 years. And I never did anything with it. And then Malia, who I'm, you know, she said to me, she says, Scott, you're not really the GM coach, right? You are a modern longevitarian. And you should, and it's a strong brand. You should do something with it. And it took me like 47 seconds to go, you know what? You're right. Right. And, and it's hard to introducing this new word into the world. Right. You know, and then explaining it and all those type of things. But then I was on my friend Steve Weber. Steve Weber, he was on my podcast, second episode. And he has a new live show called American Gumption. And he just actually made a comment about, let me read his comment about, he goes, micro content can only be culled from the long form interviews, right? So he was commenting on the show. So he's listening to the show here. And, but anyway, I was on his show and he was like, he's like, Scott, you should do a live show, right? You know, and do that. And, but when I was on his show, he actually started asking me, he intermingled both, you know, GM coach and modern longevitarian, was asking me a lot about the restaurant business. And then how did I go about living a really healthy life in this such high stress situation? And that's when, so when the live show came out, even though it's under like modern longevitarian, you can see at the bottom and it, but it became It's My Friday is the name of the show, right? Which is, as you know, the term, right? Everybody would say at work, right? It's today's my Friday. It's my Friday.
Yep.
Right. And, but I really wanted to, commingle the two together. That's why I have like you on today, right? Good Morning Hospitality. Next week I have Farmer Lee Jones booked. I mean, he's been on Food Network, he's been in Atlantic Magazine, he's been everywhere. And I, you know, and so we're gonna talk about food and chefs. And I had a chef last week, but I also had a functional trainer on the last week as well, right? So I'm mixing these two together and do that and kind of going, okay, it is one, right? We can talk about leadership, we can talk about longevity, we can talk about health span, we can talk about how those things fit together. And because like your whole empathy piece that you're talking about or anticipation is really about my eighth pillar, which is getting connected, right?
Yeah.
Getting connected with people. And that's how you can connect with your family, your friends, your spouse, your girlfriend, boyfriend, you know, whoever, significant other, your guest, your employees, all those things is really connecting with them. And it's, all of it really, really fits together. But I really appreciate that. And I've been trying to find my voice and my message and my mission, really. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been really, really focused on. And it was separated. I was like, this is the GM coach, you know, and this is modern longevitarian. And then it's like with this show, it's really becoming one. And now I can DJ these recordings into different podcasts or different episodes, you know, different type of thing. This one fits here and this one fits here, but it all is coming back to this one, you know, live show now, right?
Yeah. So agreed. Yeah. That's what, you know, I think, you know, Good Morning Hospitality, Slick Talk, they bleed into each other as well. You know, a lot of mutual networks, a lot of mutual guests and people, you know, the co-hosts obviously were guests on the show too. So like at the end of the day, I think, yeah, you're onto something. They don't have to be separate. They can definitely, there's a need for both of them and they can both be in the spotlight at the same time. So,
right. You know, because like I'm going to be interviewed on a podcast this evening, and it's an Australian podcast. So it's going to be daytime for them. Right. You know, and, and it's a business podcast. And she's like, what can you bring as this modern longevitarian? I was like, well, I've, you know, all these things were forged in the fire of working in one of the most stressful environments you ever could. Right. Restaurants that do, you know, large amount of covers. Right. And so how to live in a modern world, you know, and live your best life really is really what that message is. And, you know, so anyway, one of the things is that, you know, like you were inspiration for me to start a podcast. Right. And then, you know, I pass this on to different people, right. They've reached out to me and things like that. Is there anybody else that you kind of inspired to start a show or anything that you know of, or?
I've helped about, I would say almost 10 other podcasts already. So, do you listen, Josh Koppel? I helped him get his full comp show in the beginning, who's now is fully sponsored by Yelp. He went out the gate with a full-time sponsor doing this full-time now. Restaurateur who went to full-time podcasting. I didn't help him create it, but I gave him my tools and resources that I used, and he implemented and executed on them. That one.
You didn't help me get a sponsor yet. What's going on, man? You
didn't. I didn't help with no sponsor. He did that all on his own, man. He did that all on his own. But I helped. Craziest thing, and I'll end it on this note, is that I had a friend from high school that I haven't talked to in over like maybe 7 or 8 years, and he was like, "Hey, man, I know this is like I did no bad intentions, no nothing. I'm not here to like seek money or anything from you." But I really just want to say your podcast is doing great. I love that you love what you're doing. I've been playing with the idea of creating my own. Would love it if you give me like your top two tips. And I did. And it turned into, again, a 5-hour conversation and then more conversations later. And now they're on their 25th episode and they're killing it. So it's just like, I think it's about the 10th one I can think of. And so it's just been, you know, at the end of the day, podcasting is the best way to go right now. It's a great medium. It's only a million active podcasters out there in the world, versus millions of YouTubers and bloggers and everything. So, it's a good time to get into it.
Yeah, it is. It really is. You know, and, before I ask my last question, where can people find you online, Will?
Yes. You can find me at slicktalkthepodcast.com. You can find me at willslickers.com or goodmorninghospitality.com.
Okay. Are you on social too?
On social, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, all at Slick Talk the Pod. On Facebook, it's Slick Talk the Podcast.
Got it. Yeah. So I remember you telling me a story, right? about you went to stay at a hotel. Mm-hmm. And they recognized you from the podcast, the supervisor, right?
Dude, yeah, that was intense.
Yeah, tell me about that. And then what we got 2 minutes for this, right? Yeah. Just go ahead, tell me.
So I was on my National Guard weekend training, and we were doing our 2-week training that year. It was in June, and we were out in the field, out in Yakima, the dry field, you know, dirt, dust, heat, all that crap, and no showers. It sucked. Anyways, we finally got back to Spokane and we were allowed about ready to get to go on base, but we had to stop overnight. And so we stayed at this hotel, and it was a Holiday Inn, and it was in Cheney. It was like right outside of Spokane. I don't remember the reason why we decided to stay there, but we did. And I booked the reservation like 2 days in advance. So it was like kind of last minute in the sense of booking time to arrival day. And anyways, I walked in to the room and there was a sign that said, "Welcome, Slick Talk, the Hospitality Podcast." And there's like bottles of water and granola. And I was like, "What the heck? Did you guys do this?" And my roommates at the time, they're like, "No, we don't even know that you have a freaking podcast, you dork." And I was like, "Well, okay, well, this is crazy." But the next morning we checked out and I was in my uniform. And I kept getting a weird look from one of the girls at the counter. And I was like, "What the heck? Why did she keep looking at me all weird?" And I thought maybe my uniform was all messed up or something. And she goes, like, as I was about ready to leave with my receipt, she goes, "Hey, are you Will Slickers?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm Will Slickers." And she's like, "Can I talk to you?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she was almost in tears. But she goes, "Your podcast, listening to the How to Become a Hotel Manager episode, really changed my career. I was just a front desk agent at this other property and I was miserable, but I knew I loved what I was doing in the sense of hospitality hotels." And I listened to that episode and I grabbed, you know, some chunks out of it and I applied it to my resume and I went out and I sought this job. And this was the first job I applied for as a manager and I got it. And because of you, like, I've been super inspired to continue to like be in the industry and grow my leadership skills and really hone in on how to be a genuine hotel manager. And she would start crying and I started crying and it was a good time. So it's just like stories like that, man, just, it makes all the difference. I'll never forget that.
Man, yeah. That's amazing. I know you got to run but I wanted to squeeze that one in because that's such a great story because you got to see firsthand how something you were putting in a digital world is actually impacting real lives, right?
Yeah. Because like we look at the podcast stats, like I look at them, I see the numbers and I see how many listens a day and a week and a month and what episodes are trending or not. And now there's a face, there's a real story behind a number. Then that's like one thing we learned at front desk too, is like, "I have X amount of check-ins today." No, you have X amount of people with a real story and a real personality behind that. And so it was just kind of a big awakening moment. And it was incredible. So I'll never forget that.
Dude, you're a superstar, man. I love you, man. It's, you know, I was thinking of Mark Twain's quote, you know, "The secret to getting ahead is getting started," right?
Yeah, 100%.
You 3 years in the business, you just said, "I'm going to start a podcast," and you did it. And look, I mean, you're changing lives, man. It's just amazing stuff. You're just conduit to get the everything in the right place, right? And impacting people's lives. So
yeah, the right place, right people, the right time. That's all it is.
Yeah. Thanks for doing that, man. It's amazing. All right.
Well, thanks for having me on.
What's that?
Thank you for having me on. It's been awesome to talk with you. It's great to catch up. I love what you're doing. So I can't wait to see all the other episodes that come out. And yeah, thank you again. It's been a good conversation.
It's my pleasure. All right. All right. Awesome. Talk to you later, buddy. We'll take care. All right. Thanks again. All right. I'm going to wrap this up right now. Here we go. All righty. Man, that Mark Twain quote is really cool. And what Will is doing is absolutely amazing. He's touching people's lives, and his listenership is just tremendous what he's doing in the industry. I can't thank him enough for coming on the show and sharing his stories and all of those things. It's been, wow. It's been amazing. And I'm kind of speechless, which for you, if you really know me, that's hard to do, to make me speechless. Tomorrow is going to be Wacky Wednesday, and I'm going to talk about one of the top biohacks that I've ever done to change my physical performance. And I've been doing it. It's been so good. I've been doing it for over 2 years. So tune in tomorrow on Wacky Wednesday. That's the day that I actually explore all of these different tests that I've done on myself, these self-guinea pig tests. And I'm super excited to share this one with you. Last week, if you missed it, I talked about coffee enemas. I did finish up. I did 28 coffee enemas in 29 days, and I can't wait to do another one. But that's kind of weird. I know you don't want to talk about that, but my inflammation is so low right now, and I'm feeling absolutely amazing. And anyway, Wacky Wednesday. Look forward to having you. And then on Thursday show, Level 2 Sommelier Francesco Ferrario is going to be on from Santa Monica. We work together in Santa Monica, and he spent 16 years at the Lobster right at the pier in Santa Monica. And I'm excited to have him on, and a dear friend of mine. So I'm going to end this broadcast and sign off. And you guys, if it's your Friday, have an amazing weekend.